You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca.
Chapstick on a regular basis?
I use regular Vaseline. I guess I'm just old school, but I've been using that since I was in middle school. I always keep some nice Vaseline on me. That's what I put on my beautiful lips.
So, like, how often a day are you applying Vaseline?
So I do it in the morning. Every time after I brush my teeth, I put some Vaseline on my lips. So usually like three times a day.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so you're kind of, well, if you're doing it daily, then I would say you're like a Chapstick user. Now it's Vaseline. So you got like with like the big rectangular tub of Vaseline, or do you have a little small one?
I have the big rectangular one, and I have a small one. So when I need to reload my small one, I just go to the big rectangular one, scoop some out of there, and put it in there, baby. That's what I do.
Oh, my God. All right. Jeez, a lot of people, more people, you know, that use it. So now you put Vaseline anywhere else or just on your lips?
I'll put it on my body. Like, I don't use lotion. I have very oily skin, so in the summertime, I don't put anything. I know it's hard to believe because my skin's so flawless. That's another subject. But I'll put it on my body also. I don't put anything else on my face or anything
All
else
right.
besides some ivory soap and some Vaseline. That's
okay.
It.
Now, did you ever use Stick'Em on your hands when you played?
Never. I remember it was big my first couple of years in the NFL, but I never used it. Never used it. Nope.
Okay. Never use Stick'Em.
Yep.
Now, as a receiver, and we see these great catches now, but I look at the gloves that some of these guys wear, and I like it's like they almost got Velcro. What do you make of the gloves and how that's impacted some of the catches as a receiver now?
I mean, it definitely helps out. Not trying to take anything away from these receivers. They are making some great catches, but the tactfulness, if I'm using the correct word, on these gloves definitely helps out, because with the bare hands, some of these catches these individuals are making, they wouldn't happen without these special gloves. So as I alluded to, I don't want to take anything away from these guys. They practice a lot of these catches, but those gloves definitely help out with some of these catches that are being made.
Yeah, okay, that I agree. I want to go back to this week in the CFL, Milt. That was one of the most entertaining four games of CFL in one week than I can recall in a long time.
I was trying to think back, when was the last time we had a week like that, and I actually couldn't think back to it. You think about the scoring that was going on there. I think it was an average of 66 points, and the offense, over 2,900 net yards. And this is what people who tune into the CFL, this is what they expect to see. Let's be honest. No one wants to see a low-scoring game. That's not what
No.
the CFL is all about. That's not what it's all about. It's all about what happened this past weekend, the games coming down to the last seconds. And I know there are some rules that need to be changed throughout the CFL. We won't get into that. But the last 3 minutes of a CFL game is something special, and we've got to see it in basically every single game this past week. So if we could get every game like that, man, we have a bunch of millionaires in this league. It'd be something special.
You mentioned like the final and coming down to it. What did you make of that Calgary game and the ending there?
It was great. Besides my Bombers losing the game, it was great. You know, that's what you want to see. And as I just alluded to, that last 3 minutes gives you an opportunity to win games like that. You know, in other leagues, and I know they say you have the timeouts, but for the most part, you wouldn't have had any timeouts left, and that would have never happened. The game would have been over. So the fact that it had an opportunity to end like that, the Bombers, they say, made some mistakes allowing the ball to go into the end zone, whatever it may be. Regardless, our last 3 minutes gives opportunities like that to happen, and it's exciting for everyone involved.
Now, you mentioned rule change, Milt. Why? What change would you like to see?
Man, I hate the rules. I hate the rules.
Oh, yeah.
I hated it since I've been in the league, and I hate it now. It's the worst way to win or lose a game. I've lost a couple of games on it, and I hate it. So there are some other things, but that's the one rule. I also don't like the fact that you can challenge pass interference. I don't like that. You know, mistakes are going to be made. We're dealing with humans. Everything shouldn't be corrected. If that's the case, when a person drops the ball, when an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator calls a wrong play and gets scored on or they're not having success, maybe you can call that back too. We're all humans. Refs are humans. I don't think you should have an opportunity to challenge things, especially not pass interference.
Yeah, well, I like the rouge to me, especially on the missed field goal. Like, if it's a punt single, I could kind of live with it, maybe, because a lot of times you're not planning for it. It bounces in the end zone on an 80-yard or whatever. But at bare minimum, rewarding people for a missed field goal, I've never understood it. And I know you talked to lots of people in the league. Why do you think they would? Why do you think they're so opposed to it, to wanting to get rid of the rouge, even if we just go halfway and get rid of it on missed field goals?
Because I think there are so many of the gatekeepers who are old school. You know, it's tradition. It's the CFL. It's the way it's always been, the way it's going to be. And maybe that's part of the problem why this league is not growing as fast as it could be. Because there's some good games, and if we could get some eyes on these games, this league would be in a lot better place than what it's in right now. I'm not saying it's in a bad place, but it could be in a better place than what it is right now. Maybe you just need to get some more forward-thinking individuals making some of the decisions.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I actually spoke to the former commissioner of the CFL, Randy Ambrosi, the other day, and he said the biggest challenge he had was how many people were opposed to wanting to kind of move forward. And, you know, I kind of get the sense that's from, you know, a high-end, you know, he's dealing with the owners more than anyone else. And you know, I get a sense right now, like BC, you know, Edmonton, Toronto, some individual owners are like, hey, let's make some changes. And the other ones are kind of dragging their feet through the process. And I think eventually they're going to have to get there, Milton. The problem is they're just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, and I hate to put it this way, but eventually the CFL, the majority of the fans are literally going to die out. You know, it's. You look at the demographics at some of these games in Winnipeg and maybe Saskatchewan, an exception to the rule, but there are a lot of older individuals. I'm thankful that they're there because they allow this league to keep growing, but you got to get some younger individuals' eyes watching these games. So once these older individuals aren't able to do it anymore, you have a nice transition where you have these younger individuals and they step right in and you continue that process. But until then, this league, like I said, is not in a bad place, but it's not in a place that it could be if some things started changing.
Yeah, well, I'm with you wholeheartedly. I want to go back to the Elks game and, you know, very entertaining finish, but the Elks had zero rush. Now, I know it's only six attempts, but still, you had zero rushing yards from your running backs. And now against Hamilton, they ran like crazy and Rankin was unreal. And the week before that, the running game stunk. What do you see about the lack of running game? Is it the play calling or is it the execution from not opening up the holes by the O-line?
Well, let me say this. When you've only won one game and you win a game, you're not concerned with
how
you did it.
Yeah.
You're not concerned. I know you're on ranking because they didn't run him, but he did have 90 yards receiving. So if your running back can do that, maybe that's a different way of getting him involved. So there's so many factors that go into that. Maybe the way Montreal has one of the best defenses in the league. The way they were playing, they weren't going to allow him to run him, so they just totally said, okay, we got to abandon this. We got to do what's going to work for us, and maybe that's the short game and getting Rankin involved in the pass game, and it worked for him. So I would have to actually watch the film in totality to make that to determine why they weren't able to run it. But like I said, when you're just trying to win a game, you're trying to just win a game and do whatever you can in your power. Of course, you would like to have a running game because you're going to need it, especially when this weather starts getting bad. So they want to hope they can put themselves in a position to do it. But when you're just trying to win a game, you're really not concerned with how you do it.
And looking at the kind of – we talk about the evolution of play calling as Milt Stegall joins us. And, you know, Milt, you look at the CFL, and I've seen a lot of people talking about how they think the offensive play calling overall – now, this past weekend's an exception because this past weekend was unreal. And I don't know if – did you see a difference in how they're calling games that led to such an increase in scoring? And or is it just like a one-weekend perfect thing? Or have you seen a trend that will show you, hey, we're getting a little bit more aggressive in our play calling offensively?
Well, let's hope it continues. And I know where you're going because a lot of coaches, a lot of offensive coordinators were very conservative. They didn't want to, I guess, put their quarterback or offense in a position where they're going to have an opportunity to make a big mistake or be in second and long because they're nickel and diamond on first down instead of going for the big plays. When I played, man, it was all about big plays. It was all about moving the ball down the field. It's so hard to nickel and dime down the field. If you can have an offense that can create those big plays, in my opinion, you have a better opportunity of winning. But I know where you're going because in the past, it was all about being conservative, nickel and dime, and maybe a big play here and there instead of going for the jugular all the time. So let's hope what we saw this past week will continue, because that's what the CFL, in my opinion, that's what it was about when I got into this league. That's what it was about when I played. And I don't know when it changed, but it hasn't been that way in a while.
Milt Stegall joins us. Milt, you look at the Elks and how they won that game, and their defense now, that's three consecutive games where their defense has played way better. Now, they're still not getting a lot of sacks, but they're limiting their points against for sure, so that's a start. They did get a huge pick six from Ty Ford. Give me your thoughts overall on the Elks defense and where you think it's at.
It's getting better. It's getting better, and they invested a lot of money in their defense. Robbie Smith, I'm still waiting for him. I see some flashes, but they need him to get to that quarterback. I mean, he's the highest paid, I think, non-quarterback, and Jake Ceresna is playing better, and we saw Trey Ford make a big play. But when you're making that type of money, those things are expected week in and week out. As you mentioned, the defense over the last three games, they've gotten better. I think they're holding teams to 10 less points than they were before Cody Fajardo got in there. So they're playing better, but that's what's expected when you have a high-priced defense. So let's hope they can continue it, because we need all teams to play well. We don't need some teams winning a bunch of games and other teams not. This team is capable of it, but now they got to do it on a consistent basis. They have a great opportunity to still get in the playoffs, but they just got to start winning some games. So let's hope they can do that.
What's impressed you most about this surprise start by the Calgary Stampeders?
I'm not surprised. It was unfortunate that I couldn't get on the preview show because of what happened, you know, with my son. But in my notes, I had that Vernon Adams would give them an extra at least 4 or 5 victories, at least.
Okay.
Based on what happened last year, and they won 5. Adding Vernon Adams, give them at least, so that's at least 9 or 10 games, at least, I said. And they, on the way they're going, they'll win 13, 14 games maybe. So I'm not surprised at all. Maybe some people are surprised because they basically overhauled their defense, but adding a player like Vernon Adams totally changed your team. So I'm one of those guys who aren't surprised. I don't think Dave Dickinson is surprised. I don't think a lot of people in that organization is surprised. That's why they went out and got Vernon Adams. So what they've been able to do this year is not surprising to me at all because of what type of player Vernon Adams is.
The one thing we've seen many times, Milt, in the CFL is teams have a slow start, they come on strong, teams have a great start, they slow down. Is there a team that's had a really good start that you're like, I'm leery of them in the second half of the season?
I know a lot of people are saying Saskatchewan Rough Riders because we've seen this in other years. You know what? I can say I can see it going the other way, a team that didn't have a great start, maybe finishing strong, I would say the BC Lions. I can see that happening. I don't see the Saskatchewan Rough Riders faltering. I don't see that happening right now. I think they're just too strong. As long as Trevor Harris stays healthy, they can do it. But the BC Lions, if Nathan Rourke can get on track, they can win it all. They can win the West. They can win it all. That's the one team I can see totally turning around. They had a great comeback victory this past week in Hamilton. And if he can play consistent football, this team can not only compete against anyone, they can beat everyone, win the West, and win the Grey Cup. So that's the one team I can see totally turning around in a positive manner.
The thing I like about this season right now is there's no dominant team. There's not one team, at least for me, that you would look and say, man, I put all my money on this team right now. Saskatchewan's had good stretches. Calgary's good. Winnipeg is still the team that's been to 5 Grey Cups in a row. I'm not ready to point them out. You mentioned the BC Lions. The Hamilton Tiger Cats are also good. And Montreal, when they get Davis Alexander, I think they're a much better team than what they are with McLeod Bethel Thompson. Is there a team you like most right now?
I agree with you when you say just no clear-cut favorite, which is good when you're only dealing with the league with nine teams. It's perfect. You have to have parity. But you're putting me on the spot. If there's one team, I would say the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Ooh. That's the one team, if I had to put everything I had, if I had to liquidate all my earnings and put everything on it, it would be the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And it has nothing to do with the offense. It's the fact that they improved their defense. And I know their defense this past week looked a little shaky, definitely towards the end, but I think they added enough. You added a player like Stubblefield and Amos on the back end, and those guys can ball, and they totally solidified that defense. And if what Bo is doing with that receiving core, which is the best in the league, can score with the best, and if they need to come up with some stops, they can do that because they added some guys on the back end. So right now, that is my clear-cut favorite. Right, not clear-cut, but my favorite if I had to pick one to win the Grey Cup.
Milt, it's always great to talk to you. I didn't want to start with it, but I couldn't let it go. I did want to offer our condolences, of course, on the unexpected passing of your son, Chase. And I hope that you and your family and everybody's doing well. And it's great to see you back in the panel. And what I couldn't imagine as a father of my own how tough that would be. So our deepest condolences and happy to see that you're back doing what you love.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys, all the love and everything. And this right here is part of the therapeutic process, so I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you very much.
And enjoy your Vaseline application, Milt. We'll talk to you again soon.
I don't know how I should take that. I'm going to leave that one alone. Right? I'm leaving that one alone.